Mercy and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends of Christ, there's a story told of an atheist who was out in his boat one day fishing. And out of nowhere came the Loch Ness Monster, which took his boat and flipped it high into the air. And the man, his tackle, and everything else was tossing and turning. And the Loch Ness Monster had opened its mouth and was prepared to devour the feast. And the atheist cried out the words, "Oh my God, help me!" And then the whole scene stopped. And a booming voice come from heaven and says, "I didn't think you believed in me." And the atheist responded, "2 minutes ago I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." And then God says, "The reality is, I usually don't intervene in things like these. I can simply change hearts. What would you have me do?" The man thought for a moment and says, "Please make the monster a Christian." "Done," God said, and the scene continued on. The man tumbling through the air, falling back towards the mouth of the Loch Ness Monster. And the Loch Ness Monster snapped its mouth shut, bowed its head, put its paws together and says, "Lord, for the gift I'm about to receive, I give you thanks." If there's one thing in our world today that we struggle with, it's the sin of being ungrateful. You know, Luther reminds us in his explanation to the first article of the Creed, all the things that God has given us. "I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still takes care of them." And then he gives a whole litany of things. "He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life." What a list! All the things that God has given. But the reality is our indebtedness to God is more than just to celebrate and give thanks the one day a year. As Christians, this attitude of gratitude should be strewn throughout the year, every single day. Literally every breath that we take should be filled with thanks for what God has done. It reminds me of the story, you know, as you're raising little children, one of the first things you want to tell them is to say thank you, right? And also say please. Little boy was with his mother in the store, and the nice grocer got a nice bright orange and handed it to the little boy. And the mother's kind of waiting to see if he's going to say thank you, and nothing's happening. And she goes, "Johnny, what do you say to the nice man?" And Johnny stepped back and looked at his orange carefully and looked up at the man and handed it back to him and said, "Peel it." For a child of God, thankfulness is not confined to the day, but our days should be filled with an attitude of gratitude for all that God has done. Which leads me to the gospel lesson for the day. It's the account of Jesus and the 10 lepers. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus was passing between the region between Samaria and Galilee, kind of out in the barren no man's land, the demilitarized zone, if you will. Jesus with his disciples, and as he entered into a village, or he come close to a village, there was 10 lepers, and they had joined their voices together and says, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." See, they never asked exactly what they wanted Jesus to do. They didn't say, "Heal our leprosy, give us food to eat, make people like us again." They simply said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, our day and age, we don't have very many lepers around that we acknowledge, and we have no leper colonies outside of the city limits. But in those days, lepers were those that were forced out of society. When you were diagnosed with a skin condition that was considered contagious by the priest, they literally evicted you from your family, your friends, and most importantly, from church, from the sanctuary. You are no longer allowed to go to the temple in fear that you would infect other people. In fact, the laws for a leper were very specific. If you approached someone as you walked on the road as a leper, you were to cover your face and to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." This past week, I was at the Lancaster County Jail talking to the inmates about this very text. And I said, it's kind of like you go down the street and you pull out your rap sheet. addict, pedophile, gossiper. And people were so afraid of lepers that even the thought of their shadow touching theirs would cause leprosy, and so people avoided them literally as the plague. I find it interesting as I read through that how quickly we forget our condition spiritually. In fact, the prophet Isaiah says that we are all become like one who is unclean. Our uncleanness of sin has literally separated us from the body of Christ. The uncleanness that we have within ourselves, it separates us from our Heavenly Father. God's command to Adam and Eve, as soon as they had sinned, is He evicted them from the garden because I cannot have them in my presence. Jesus on the cross yelled out those great words, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Why had God forsaken His only Son? Because the sins of the world were upon Him. And the Father turned His back on His Son, and it's the first and only time Jesus experienced the full brunt of what hell is like. My dear friends in Christ, but it's actually worse than that. As the lepers would veil themselves and cover their sinfulness, we attempt to do the exact same thing, don't we? Don't we often take our good works and kind of prop them up as a veneer like Adam and Eve? We take our fig leaves and we carefully sew them together. We want no one else to see the sin that is seething underneath. But the reality is that Isaiah goes on to say all of our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. The reality is that our sin stands before us in the mirror and it defines exactly who we are according to our sinful flesh. But here's the reality. When Jesus hears the cry of those lepers, He responds. He responds with words of that don't make much sense to you and I. He says, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Why? Because the priests were the only ones that could determine whether a person was healed that would allow them to enter back into the community to be a part of the body of God as a child of God. For Jesus on that day, there was no spitting on the ground and making it in the mud and rubbing it on the eyes and telling them to go wash in the pool of Siloam. There was no sticking His fingers in their ears to open them as He did to the deaf man. None of that happened at all. Jesus simply gave His word. And His word was simple. Go show yourselves to the priests. Some would ask why? Because they are the ones that would allow them to come back and rejoin their family and their community. But I believe Jesus was telling them that, brothers, your problem is much deeper than skin. Your problem goes all the way to the bone. It's more than just a physical ailment. Your issue deals with spirituality. And as you enter into the synagogue, their sacrifices are given. Their sins are forgiven. That's what you need more than anything else. You know, recently we evicted the baptismal font from the chancel and placed it out in the narthex. And as I told you before, it's been hard for me, although I kind of initiated it with the help of the elders. I'm still having a hard time getting used to the idea because it seems like it's right in the way, but in reality it's supposed to be. See, the reality is that outside, as we enter into this world, we're born in the world as unclean and sinful, blind, dead, and enemies of God. And through the water of that baptismal font and through God's word, we who were once far off are now brought near. Through that baptismal font, we have become a part of the body of Christ by the simple words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And those words have changed everything for you and I. We are now children of God, a part of the family. We are in His house. Well, following Jesus' command, that the lepers turned and they were doing what Jesus had asked them to do. But I find it interesting that Luke doesn't say, and they were healed, and then they went to the priest. If you read the text, they literally went to the priest before anything happened. They turned and followed Jesus' command by faith, and they were going to the priest when they began to notice that, hey, my leprosy's gone. I'm quite sure there's a joyful cry and there's a lot of excitement and everybody got so caught up in the healing that only one of them gave any thought of turning around and returning to Jesus and to giving Him thanks. And I love the fact that when the leper came to Jesus, he did so with a loud cry. I want everyone to know. This is not a secret. This man named Jesus, he is the promised Messiah. This miracle proves who he is. He is the Lord. When he got to Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now this morning, if you take nothing else away from this sermon, I want you to hear this one thing. I want you to see the disposition of the man before Jesus' words and then after. Before he was outside, an alien. And then after Jesus spoke his words and the healing had taken place, he was literally at the feet of Christ. No longer an outsider, no longer over there, but he was literally right in the presence of Jesus. In the same way that you and I in just a few moments will come before our Lord as we kneel at his feet, and as we receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. He draws us near. You and I, who have no business even being here, our Heavenly Father invites us into his presence and says, come, for my table is ready. Come, receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sins. See, the reality is that we have so much to be thankful for. You can look at all of your material possessions in the world, all the things that God has showered upon you. And we have much to be grateful for. But the greatest gift that God has given us goes beyond material possessions, beyond physical restoration. It goes right to the heart of the matter, forgiveness of all of our sins. See, I like the way Luther kind of wraps up that explanation of the first article of the Creed. He ends with the words, he being God, defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. My dear friends in Christ, this morning it is a great privilege and a great honor to be in the presence of Christ. To hear his words proclaimed specifically to you, I forgive you all of your sins, and to leave this place knowing that you are forgiven. With that said, now it's time to receive the meal that he has prepared, that he is the host. So happy Thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.